So today I'm going to present some of my research that I've done as a postdoc at Washington State University on attributing differences in water-limited canola yields to nitrogen use efficiency. And so this research was performed in the inland Pacific Northwest, which encompasses eastern Washington and Oregon, as well as the panhandle of Idaho. And you can see by the graphic that the cropping system is dominated by wheat. And as you move inward into the rain shadow of the Cascade Mountains, then wheat is more often rotated with fallow. Now, in 2008, Washington State invested in the development of a regional oilseed industry with crushing and processing capabilities. And so the research responded by making efforts to adapt canola to the semi-arid and Mediterranean-like climate of the inland Pacific Northwest in hopes to supply some of this demand with a local source of oilseed. So the objectives of this talk and our part in these adaptation efforts were to attribute water-driven yield differences as well as grain and accumulation in spring canola to soil and plant processes. And particularly, we wanted to know its limiting yield. Was it nitrogen uptake efficiency, and is that the retention of nitrogen within the rooting zone, or is it uptakes, the ability of the plants to recover nitrogen, or is it nitrogen utilization efficiency, so partitioning of nitrogen in plants, as well as grain in utilization efficiency. And so our study took place at two site locations over a period of 6 years. And so the first site was located in Davenport, Washington, which is 30 miles west of Spokane. So during our study, the available water averaged 378 millimeters per year. Now here, spring crops can be rotated with winter wheat and fallow every 3 years. And at the second site, we held the study at Pullman, Washington, which is home of Washington State University, and it averaged 538 millimeters of available water per year. And we practice annual cropping here, and so we can have spring crops rotated with wheat or winter wheat with alfalfa. So the first step in our analysis was to first account for nitrogen in the plant and soil system. And so here we estimated the nitrogen supply, and we assumed that this supply included residual nitrogen. And so we took samples to 150 centimeter depth, but we designated the rooting zone as the top 120 centimeters. Then we also estimated nitrogen mineralization in our control plots and added various rates of nitrogen to determine or characterize the nitrogen response of spring canola yields. And now these numbers that I've shown here are just typical numbers that you would find in our annual cropping zone. And then at the end of the season, we wanted to determine how much of that nitrogen was available. And so we assumed this included plant nitrogen, including grain nitrogen as well as residue nitrogen, as well as the post-harvest residual N, to a depth of 150 centimeters, also keeping with that designation of 120 centimeters for the rooting zone. So the next step that we wanted to do was then to relate maximum yield or yield potential to available water. And we did this because we wanted to use or determine the water use efficiency of the spring canola and then be able to predict yield potential for a given level of available water. And then we went on to the next step, which was to model the yield response. And so when we're looking at a single season, what we can do is use an equation, such as the Mitscherlich equation here, which looks at the response of grain to increasing levels of nitrogen here. And this equation obeys the law of diminishing returns, where as we approach yield maximums, we get less and less return on an incremental addition of nitrogen. But what we wanted to do in this particular research project was to characterize nitrogen response at a varying level of available water levels. And so we used a modified Mitscherlich equation where we added a term here, the X term, is our water-dependent constant. And so when this constant is zero or close to zero, the equation reduces to it resembles a classic Mitchell-Lick equation. And what happens is we have varying nitrogen use efficiency across optimal yields. So here's the response in this system where this occurs, where we have the response of grain yield to N supply at varying water availabilities, and economic optimal yields are starred. And what we see is that we have low nitrogen use efficiency at lower yield potential, but a higher and increasing nitrogen use efficiency as we increase yield potential. Now, if this water-dependent constant is equal or close to negative 1, then what happens is this equation reduces to a classic Liebig function, and we have a single nitrogen use efficiency optimal yields. And here's an example of this, where the yield response to N supply across these different levels of economic optimal yields is the same. So we have it takes more nitrogen to reach those optimal levels in this system relative than the Mitchell-Lick response. Okay, and then the final step of our nitrogen use efficiency component analysis was to attribute differences in grain yields to these plant and soil, different plant and soil processes. So we define nitrogen use efficiency as yield per given nitrogen supply. And now we can break this up into two different components. So we have nitrogen uptake efficiency here, which is the basically what the plant can recover in the above ground biomass for a given N supply, as well as N utilization efficiency, which tells us how much the plant was able to produce given the amount of nitrogen it recovered. And then we can then further split these components up into four different components, nitrogen retention efficiency, available N uptake efficiency, N harvest index, and grain and utilization efficiency. And then finally, what we can do is then look at we can attribute yield differences to each of these components. And we do this by first looking at the yield response to N supply at two different yield potentials. And then we can determine what is causing or attribute soil and plant processes that are leading to yield differences between these two points. And so here we can see that nitrogen supply, we have a lower nitrogen supply at the lower yield potential site, which is reducing grain yields. But most of the grain difference was attributed to nitrogen use efficiency. And now we're going to start teasing this apart and looking at the soil plant processes that influence this. So we do this by then looking at the response to available N uptake. So we've already determined the effect of N supply on these yield differences. And so now we can determine, okay, how much yield, how much was the yield reduction due to differences in available N use efficiency. And now the difference between the N response or the yield response from available nitrogen versus the N supply was due to differences in nitrogen retention efficiency. And we can do this again by looking at the response to plant N, carry over what we've already found, which were the contributions of nitrogen retention efficiency and N supply to yield differences, and then now determine or attribute yield differences due to N utilization efficiency and available nitrogen uptake efficiency. And then finally, we can get all four subcomponents of nitrogen use efficiency by looking at the yield response at these two yield response to grain nitrogen. And then now we can determine yield differences due to grain N utilization efficiency, as well as N harvest index, available N uptake efficiency, and N retention efficiency. Okay, so for our results, so I'm showing data on the yield response to N supply for four of the 12 sites that varied in available water. And then what we did is we used the modified Mitchell-Lick equation to predict the yield response based on those levels of water availability. And with that, we were able to explain 73% of the yield variation in those 4 years. We did the same by looking at the yield response to available nitrogen, plant nitrogen, and grain nitrogen. So now I'm just going to take away these points and just focus on the shape of this response. And so what we see is that the yield response to soil insupply follows a Mitchell-like response. And this is important because what it tells us is that we cannot establish a single unit nitrogen requirement that the spring canola needs to attain its yield goals. Whereas if we move towards a plant basis, we see more of a Liebig-like response. And this is also important because what it tells us is that we can look at the plant and grain nitrogen concentrations and then evaluate how well we did relative to our yield targets. Okay, and so then we wanted to then attribute differences in yield due to the nitrogen use efficiency components and then maybe allow us to say something about or tease out the soil and nitrogen processes. And so here we're looking at yield differences at between economic optimal yields at three different levels of available water. And so what we found is that almost 40% of the yield differences were due to grain and utilization efficiency, whereas less than 10% was due to nitrogen harvest index or the partitioning of nitrogen in the plant, where about 25% of yield differences were attributed to both available in uptake efficiency and in retention efficiency, and less than 10% due to differences in supply. And so what that's telling us is that about half of the yield reductions at a low rainfall site were attributed to the plant's ability to take up nitrogen from the soil, and half was due to the plant being able to utilize that nitrogen to produce a product. Now, out of all of these subcomponents, grain and utilization efficiency was particularly important. So now we can repeat this process and instead of looking at yield response, look at grain and accumulation. And what we found was that in partitioning really didn't influence the grain and accumulation, and rather it was more the ability of the plant to take nitrogen up from the soil. Okay, thank you. And so what may be going on? So when we had more available water, what we saw is that we really depleted the soil profile in and out of the designated rooting zone from nitrogen, where our grain had about 3% nitrogen. Now, when there was less available water, you can see there was more residual nitrogen within the rooting zone and below. So the plants just aren't taking nitrogen up as well, whereas the grain had a higher nitrogen concentration, so it's just not able to fill out that grain. So in conclusion, spring canola yields exhibit a Mitchell-like response to insupply, so therefore we can establish a single unit nitrogen requirement across different yield potentials, and a Liebig-like response to plant and accumulation. Now, water availability limited yields by restricting utilization of grain in, as well as reducing retention uptake of nitrogen from the rooting zone, and water limited grain in accumulation by lowering an uptake from the soil. Any questions?